Definitely, Brother Niyi can teach me songs. Praise God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because in the battles of life, you have always won. That is why we are sure that we are going to be victorious. Everyone that is under the sound of my voice, by reason of the victory in Jesus, you are declared victorious in Jesus' name. Jesus indeed is the winner man. Because you have the seed of success. You will succeed in Jesus' name. Lord, your word is going forth now. Let this word prosper us. Let this word change us. Let this word bring us favor before the throne of grace in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. I can tell you very well that there was no communication between myself and the choir in terms of what message to share with you and the song they sang just now. By the special grace of God, I'm going to be sharing with us. It's going to be a two-part series. And we're going to be talking about the kingdom formula for your all-round victory. The kingdom formula for your all-round victory. So which means I will share it with us today. And then next week, by the grace of God, we'll conclude. I want you to open your Bible with me to 1 John chapter 5. It's a place we are well aware of and quite familiar with. 1 John chapter 5. And I'm going to read from verses 4 to 6. He says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." The Spirit is truth. We've shared a lot from this passage in the past, that we should know that there are overcomers in this world. If there are overcomers, it means there are people who fail to overcome. And we are told that the instrument of our overcoming is our faith. He said, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." That is the instrument of our victory. I find out that one of the reasons why many Christians may not live successful Christian lives is because they are lacking in the basic and rudimentary knowledge of our faith. I remember right from the time my children started from primary school, one of the things I kept drumming into their ears is this. When they started to add, subtract, divide, if they will remember, one of the things I used to tell them, I said, look, subtraction, division, multiplication, addition is going to be a recurring theme all your life. It does not matter how complex the mathematics will be. It revolves around it. Apology to my maths teacher, ma. I hope I'm right, ma. It does not matter. Everything is a building block on the basics that we learn. You may then come up with algebra, you may come up with any kind of thing. You will find out that it is the basis rest upon the basics that you learn. And so, when you have not learned the basic very well, every other thing you put on top of it will not sit well. That is why a lot of Christians keep struggling till today, because we no longer learn Christ the way they used to learn Christ. Some of us who are born again in the time past, you know what I'm talking about? For example, I will take responsibility for part of this. People come into our church, we pray for them, we ask people to lift up their hands if they want to give their life to Christ, they do. How much of follow-up do we have for these people? In the past, if you gave your life to Christ, you know what happens? You begin to attend classes. New beginners class, baptismal class, that class, that, so that you are actually loaded with the word. How many of us here who actually gave our lives ever went through classes? So that we have that intimate knowledge of God. And so, that is the reason why when, you know, people come to a point in their life, because the foundation has not been well laid, it is easy for them to fall away. In fact, there are many people in the church today who are teachers, but they themselves, they have never been taught. You agree with me? Never been taught. Paul wrote to Timothy, in his writing to Titus, in his writing to elders in churches, he would say to them, he said, what you see us do is what you do. He said, if anyone depart from these teachings, in other words, the teaching that I've taught you, if anyone depart from it, if you have not been taught something, how do you know? Every time I talk about, when I talk about passing on the knowledge of God to people, I like looking at Acts chapter 20, the first ministerial conference, Acts 20. When Paul was going, he spoke to the pastors of his days. He said, everything I know, I've taught you. And I held nothing back. That was when Paul said, he said, no man's blood will be in my hands. No man's blood. And I keep telling us, I said, Paul, who supervised the killing of Stephen? At the end of the day, he said there was no man's blood on his hands. Because after he had repented, he took God seriously and he passed on everything. He said, there was no man's blood on my hands.
He said, because everything that I know, I have taught you. In other words, there's no holding back. That is what every pastor should do. That everything you know is not a knowledge contest. It's about impartation. I also have told us before that the pastor and everyone in the church were in the same boat. In the sense that we are all running a race, working our salvation with what? With fear and with trembling. Every one of us. Whether you are called a bishop, you are called a bishop, a general overseer, whatever, everyone will give an account. There's an assumption that you have gotten it right first before you start to teach other people. In fact, if you know more, then you need to do more. So many people lack basic teachings on biblical basis of their beliefs and the all-important Christian work. One day I was at work and I met a young woman who told me she was a Christian. We started discussing. We started talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We started talking about, and she didn't even have a clue. Now I'm telling you, what kind of Christianity? It's true. She will go to church. She will clap her hands. She will sing. She will dance. She will jump. But there is no evidence that somebody is impacting her life. Your life will be impacted in Jesus' name. In fact, we can read stuff on the internet. These days. But the truth is this. God deals with people level by level. I've said this over and over again. It's the same question that Mary asked. The same question Mary asked was the same question that Zechariah asked. One person got an explanation. What did the other person get? He became dumb. So God deals with people level by level. But what do we have in place of basic teachings these days? We quote public figures, magazines, journals, and everything that catch our fancy. But the knowledge that will hold us in place in itself becomes lacking. So our heads become saturated with catchphrases. Those phrases will come from Dr. Phil, Oprah, and all those big men. And those phrases, they never shift the position of the devil. They cannot give us victory. What can give us victory is what we have in our faith. In fact, sometimes we have some knowledge, but we don't have foundational knowledge. And of course, we then become like the builder that built his house on sand. And when storms came and the wind blew, what happened? The Bible said, great was the fall. I don't know if you've engaged, let me be careful what I say here. I've engaged people who are supposed to teach others. Maybe, let me put it this way. I've engaged some servants of God. And when you actually start to discuss with them what they talk about, bears no relationship with the Word of God. And what we have in the Church of God today is that we have taken those things to be the normal. So much so that there is no more reference or recourse to the Bible. And of course, every house that has no foundation is subject to a great fall. You will not fall in Jesus' name. When there is no foundation, you will fall for anything that makes you feel good or that looks good to you. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 2. We've been talking Revelation today. Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 20. The reason I'm talking to us this morning is that in the Christian world, the casualty rate is very high. I've said this before. The casualty rate is what? It's very, very high. Of the people that start, oftentimes only a small percentage finish well or finish strong. You will finish strong in Jesus' name. Revelation 2, 18 to 20. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, this thing said the Son of God, who had his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornications and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. He's saying, look, because you have permitted that the people be open to errors. So it's so important to God that people are taught the right things. That is why foundational knowledge is so important. What God had against the pastor of the church in Thyatira is because he allowed the wrong teaching to take place. I've said it so many times before, it is not all that sound good that is godly. We also read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, earlier on this morning. And one of the things that became quite obvious there is that in the church in Sardis, God was telling the pastor there, the angel of that church, that I have something that are not right with you. Yet, the Bible talks about people in that church who have not defiled themselves. Which means if Jesus should come now, those people were rapturable. And that pastor may not be raptured. That will not be your story in Jesus' name. It will not be my story in the mighty name of Jesus. Because the Bible is so clear. It says many are called and fewer are chosen. You'll be among the chosen in Jesus' name. So one of our greatest desire should then be how we can live a victorious Christian life, a life of victory. I don't think I can belabor the issue if I tell us, again, as I've said before, that we cannot live victorious Christian lives if we are not lovers of the Word of God. In other words, to live victorious Christian life, we have to be lovers of the Word of God, not just love it enough love the word of God enough, not only to know it, but to do it. Do you know what somebody said? He says, concerning the word of God, if you are in doubt, God is right and you are wrong. Did you hear that? Concerning the word of God, if you are in doubt, God is right and you are what? Very wrong, flatly wrong. Because he said, let all men be liars and God be what? Be true. He will hold himself true in your life in Jesus' name. So, end of the matter. If you are in doubt, God is right and you are wrong. I've told us before, if we are going to really love the word and we accept that God is right, you don't even have to accept that God is right because he's just right. Praise the Lord. It's true. So you don't have to accept that he's right. He's just right. But when you accept that he's right, it's for your benefit. God is never interested in our opinions. He's interested in what? In our obedience. He doesn't poll people for opinions. He does not find average. This message is being recorded, so I'm not able to say what I want to say. We know some places where they rule themselves by opinion. And so when the opinion poll is so down, they get confused. They don't know what to do. But God looks for opinion. And you find out that the church is full of opinionists these days. Everyone must want their voice to be heard. Not about the kingdom anymore. It's about, remember I've told you, I'm going to share with you your life and your ministry. But before we get there, we need to get some things right. I shared with us this morning the story that I put on the notice board about how somebody, one of the Nigerian superstars, came out and said, do you know that Nigeria would have done better in 1994 at the World Cup? He said Nigeria would have done very well. He said the reason Nigeria didn't do very well was because of petty jealousy. He said because Rashidi Yekini is the best striker Nigeria has ever produced. He said, but because people were envious that it was his name that was being mentioned all the time. And report has it that some people decided not to pass ball to him in case he would score. And people would say, Rashidi. Is there? It's Sunday Olise who said it in Belgium. He said, that's why they did not progress and do very well that year. That they would have done better than they did. If something is in line with the word of God, that is the way to go. It's not about my opinion. It's not about your opinion. Because God is right, and I'm wrong if I don't agree with him. You will agree with God in Jesus' name. The reason we need to agree with him is because the word of God is the light that keeps you from danger. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And something immediately sprang to mind. If the word of God is light, listen to this, it's a double-edged sword. In fact, the Bible actually says it's sharper than a double-edged sword. So, as the word of God will shine light to where you are going, it also shines light on you. Can you see that? That is why a city on the hilltop cannot be hidden. So that when you choose to live by the word, people are going to judge you based on what you are professing. Can you see that? Because the word of God makes you visible. We pray the prayer of Jonah this morning. That is why every invisible destiny will start to become visible in Jesus' name. The word of God is a shining light. It brings you out of obscurity into the limelight. So that the people who were no people before become a people of God. That is what the word does. The word is an elevator. It has the power to elevate you. But you have to live by it. And it will elevate you in Jesus' name. And the word is your justification also. Not only will the word shine light onto your path, the word justifies you when you hold on to the word. I want you to open your Bible to Psalm 119, verses 92 and 93. He said, "Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in my afflictions. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me." Can somebody hear that? The psalmist was declaring, he said, "Unless thy law," it is because your law is my delight, because I love your word. That is why I did not perish in my afflictions. In other words, in your life, irrespective of what your situation might be, the panacea is to love the word of God, is to delight in the word of God. Because that word has the ability, as it said in verse 93, to quicken you. Last week we talked about moving from death to life. It's the passion that you have for the word. Look, somebody can say God bless you to two people. The other person goes home rejoicing, because in that God bless you, he sees victory. He sees an answer to his prayer. And the other person takes the God bless you casually and he walks away like that, and nothing ever happens in his or her life. But the other person, you say God bless you, you say thank you, sir. Because he knows that God is speaking to him through that word. Say thank you. And he goes away and he's on the lookout. He starts to be on the lookout to see the performance. It's not just enough to be excited about the word of God, but you're actually on the lookout to see the performance of that thing in your life. We need to have the correct attitude to the word. We need to start to get excited once again about the word of God. When you find a gold nugget, I'm talking about the word, you have a different... Look, on Friday, I was so excited when we were praying. Honestly, I read the passage. That's the place I've read so many times. But it had a different meaning to me that day, that Friday. And the people who are here, they will testify to it. That by the time we finished praying, I mean, it was a different thing. Because the word meant something to me. There was a message for me in there. There's a message for you this morning. And it's going to be life-changing for you in Jesus' name. The word is your confidence builder. Because hearing it builds your faith. Of course, all of us know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No wonder Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Look at Job chapter 13, verse 15. Now, there is one part of it, of that particular statement there. If we go ahead, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He now said something. He said, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. And I will maintain my way before him. What is Job referring to there? In other words, Job is saying, in my trials, in my tribulations, in what I'm going through, as I praise him, I'm not just going to praise him with my mouth. I will continue to observe his ways. I will continue to be obedient to the word. I will continue to delight in the law of the Lord. Because you are watered by the word. In the day of dryness, when there is thirst, when there is want, the word of God will water you. If you have not learned to put your confidence in God, the word may come, it will mean nothing. Of course, when you get watered by the word, you start to become fruitful. Have you seen a plant that becomes fruitful where there is no water? No plants become fruitful except there is water there. Even in the desert, you find out that water, the plants are clustered around the oasis. Or the plants will have been so adapted that the kind of the little water they have, they are able to preserve. Because it takes the water for there to be fruitfulness. It takes the word for you to be a fruitful child of God. You'll be fruitful from today in Jesus' name. And the level of your fruitfulness is directly related to the amount of the word of God that you have in you and you are prepared to do. You know, I'm sure the church already knows that when I talk about fruitfulness, I'm not talking about money. Money is just an addition. It's just one of those things that God can add to your life. Those of us who have lived in the north, if you go and buy tomatoes from a Hausa man and you didn't argue with him, if he sells tomatoes to you this much for 5 naira, how much jara will he give you? Do you know? Sometimes he may give you as much as you bought as jara. But when you think you are smart and you price his thing uselessly, he will even tell you he won't sell to you. You bring out your money, he will say, go to the next place. He will not sell to you. But when you buy, you are smiling. Malam Sanufa. And you are doing. He will give you as much as you are paid for as extra. That is what God will do in your life in Jesus' name. So that those who will serve God without grumbling, they are positioned for blessings. You are positioned for blessing. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. We will not be like people who go to church and they are not touched. You know, a lot of people, I remember I was reading the newspaper in one of the electoral tribunals. There was a big argument. So they sat in the electoral tribunal and they brought an argument ensued. So they brought a laptop and asked a professor of a computer, whatever, technology or whatever, to operate it. And the guy didn't know how to operate a laptop. I mean, I'm sure many of us read it in the papers. They even mentioned the name of the man there. So in other words, he was professing. But what he was professing didn't pass through his life. You will not be a professing Christian that is not affected by Jesus, in Jesus' name. So 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 to 3. Because it is possible to keep professing and not be professed by heaven. 1 Peter 2, 1 to 3. He said, so be done with every trace of wickedness, that is depravity, malignity, and all deceit and insincerity, that is pretense, hypocrisy, and grudges, envy, jealousy, and slander, and evil speaking of every kind. Verse 2. He said, like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow unto completed salvation, since you have already tasted the goodness and kindness of the Lord. So what is that milk that we have to crave? The word of God. If you have the King James Version, it says, desire the sincere milk of the word. That is the only thing that can make us to prosper and make us victorious as children of God. You will be victorious in Jesus' name. And of course, the word is your instrument of warfare. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 10, verse 3 to 5, we know that the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through Christ to the pulling down of strongholds, so that every imagination that exalts itself against God are brought down. You know, those reasonings that keep us in perpetual subjection to the enemy, that make us to rise and fall as children of God. It is the word of God that has the ability to displace those reasonings. The thoughts that preoccupy our minds and will not allow our lives to be a total expression of the glory of God, the word of God can bring them into captivity. In fact, it is possible for me to be aware that when people do what I'm doing, I'm giving a hypothetical example, that there are people who do it and they don't succeed. But if I put my hands on it, I so much trust God that if others have not been succeeding, because I know God is in it, except if he doesn't want, he knows that the end will not glorify him in my life, I know I will succeed. You stand to defy statistics, and that is what is called miracle. You stand to defy what? Statistics. They say only one in a million people can get this good thing, and you become that one in a million, and that will be your story in Jesus' name. In fact, in the event that something untoward happened, maybe something happened, I still know that particular thing that happened, that looked to me at that moment not to be the desired result, it's my bus stop. It's not my destination. I know that God is working something out in my life, bigger and better and brighter than what I'm seeing. In other words, what I'm telling you this morning is that you need to keep examining your situation in the light of the Word of God every day. Once your life is right, then that situation is subject to change. I said that situation that is harassing you is subject to change. How many of us have ever been in a fish belly? We have not gone that far. And Jonah was in a fish belly. And he cried. He called that place hell. You can imagine. There's one fish we buy. Very nice fish. I think the Yorubas like that fish a lot. But one of the things that puts me off each time I have to clean that fish is the saliva. So thick. Aha. You know the one I'm talking about now. The saliva. So can you imagine being swallowed up by that kind of thing? That's a horrible place to be. But Jonah cried. And he said, the Lord spoke to the fish and said, spew him out. That represents bondage. Everything that represents bondage in your life will let you go from today in Jesus' name. David was saying, as I shared with you before in Psalm 3, verse 3 to 6, he said, I lay me down and slept. And in verse 6, he said, even though there are 10,000 people against me, he said, I lay me down and I slept. In fact, I noticed my sleep has improved since that day. I no longer lay me down and not be able to sleep. Because I don't, in fact, the total number of people I know in my life, I don't think they're up to 10,000 people. If I'm going to count the people that I know personally, I don't think I know 10,000 people. And how much more? David was saying he had about 10,000 enemies, and yet he laid down his head and slept. What is confronting you that you will not sleep? The Lord had decreed rest to you, because he said he gave his beloved what? Sweet sleep. Rest will come into your life in Jesus' name. You know, recently, I just changed my insurance from one company to the other. I'm not going to tell you which company now. Praise the Lord. So, the woman who was sent to come and do, I'm getting younger, don't you? Praise the Lord. The first time I took my insurance, 10 years ago, they didn't even do a checkup. You know, they just asked me, do you have the... No. So when I want to do it now, because I'm younger, praise God. So they asked that woman to come. So she came to my house and did my ECG, did everything, did my blood pressure. And she looked at me and said, "She said you need stress in your life, you know?" I told her, I said, if you know the kind of things I have to juggle... I said, Do you go to church? Do you know God? She said that she came from Britain. She said they used to take her to church when she was younger. I said, you better start going again. I said, that's why my blood pressure is what it is. I won't tell you also. Praise the Lord. They've been advising me, all my doctors have been advising me. They say I should be eating more salt. I should eat more salt. Praise the Lord. I will be advising you to eat more salt, because your blood pressure will come down in Jesus' name. Amen. Because the Word of God is your security. Once you rest in Him, let me tell you, it's not the people who shout the loudest that have the greatest of problems. You know that. You can have things. It depends who you have that is backing you up. If the King of Kings is backing you up, Because that which overcometh the world is what? Is our faith. You will live the life of an overcomer in Jesus' name. And of course, that victory we are talking about cannot be our experience unless we are willing to live a life of righteousness. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Pure and simple. I'm telling you, it's so important. So many a times, the things we run around praying for, if God meets us in readiness, in holiness, in righteousness, many of those things we don't even have to pray. I think so that we can start there next week because of the meetings that we have. If we'll be holy, even as he has asked us to be holy, I'm telling you, our prayer life will be different. Do you know what? The kind of things we'll be praying about will be how to see the kingdom expand. We will have moved from ourselves to the things that God wants us to be doing. Let the word provide rest for your soul. And as many as have received the word this afternoon, rest will come to your family in Jesus' name. Rest will come to your work in Jesus' name. Our brother said that he's the most junior in his place of work. And so they give him the most difficult work. But he's able to do it because he knows he has Jesus. That is rest. Lots of parents are running around because they want their children to conform. You see, I went to visit a family and they told me, I see, what happened is that their daughter had just taken off from Australia and gone to Canada because she read about this lesbian group. And she now said that she's a lesbian. So she's left here and she's gone to Canada to join those group. So the parents are already anticipating because they went to visit another Christian. And when they got to that Christian family, you know, and the family were telling them, "Oh, our son is coming home with his partner tomorrow night to have dinner with us. We don't know what to do." They are Christians, though. Their son is bringing his homosexual boyfriend home with him. So this family, they are already telling me, they say, "Okay, our daughter has gone to Canada too. So when she comes, we are already anticipating. So when she comes and she invites her friend, you know what I mean, what are we going to do?" He said, "You see, these days you can't even force the kids. You can't do this." I knew what I wanted to say, but I didn't want to say it because I need to treat them with compassion. I knew they were already wounded. But you don't want to add injury to it. So I took her through the place of the word of God in their lives and the contradiction that children see in our lives that make them chart a different course. You know? And I'm saying to you, when we come back to the basics and you hold on to the word of God, and you speak that word of God as it comes in your mouth, from your mouth, power will go out and the destiny of your children will align with the word of God in Jesus' name. If you are afraid, wondering where your children will go in this land, it may happen to 1 million people, but you'll be an exception in Jesus. We need to get back to the basics. Can we just rise on our feet, please? Just speak to the Lord and say, "Father, help me to live a victorious Christian life help me to live a victorious Christian life. We were told that whoever desires the office of a bishop desires a good thing. But one of the conditions is that person will rule his house well. They will be, the children of that person will be people who fear the Lord. They will be people who will not run away from the faith. And you don't have that kind of power. You cannot force anyone on your own. But you have the power of the word of God, because your faith overcomes the world. The faith you have overcomes the world. Pray to God that you will live a victorious life in Jesus' name. All-round victory. All-round victory. It will show in the life of your children. It will show in your work. It will show in your health. It will show in your finance. It will show in your work with God. It will show in whatever you put your hand upon to do. All-round victory. That is your portion this morning. We need to go back to the basics, because there is power in that word. There is still victory in that word. All that you need to do is to hold on to the word of God concerning you and your family. Hold on to the word of God concerning your work. If somebody is saying you cannot make it in that place, I say you will make it, because that's what the word of God says. And that man is wrong and God is right in your life. Oh, pray for a life of victory. All round victory. It will not be said of you, that area is good, but this area is terrible. That area is wonderful, oh, but that area is a struggle. Because the light of the word of God is shining there, and the power of the word of God has come upon your life right now. He's able to change things. He's able to turn things around for you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you because your word has come forth. And I believe, O God, that by reason of the word that has come forth today, because you cannot lie, that destiny will change for good in Jesus' name. That struggles have come to an end in the mighty name of Jesus. That highways have been created in the wilderness in Jesus' name. Amen. That rivers are flowing in deserts in Jesus' name. New lease of life, and there's a quickening, and that the life of your people has become an expression of your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All round victory has come to the lives of your people in the mighty name of Jesus. Flesh and blood cannot do it, but your word can. I said the word of God can. And Lord, your word, you accomplish much in the life of your people from today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.